Well, good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. I just want to greet you in the powerful name of Jesus. Psalm 7:17, I give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Psalms 9:1, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of all your wonderful deeds. Psalms 35:18, I will give thanks in the great assembly among the throngs. I will praise you. These three psalms have what in common? They're giving praise to God, giving him thanks and honor that he is due. So what are you thankful for this morning? I mean, if you look outside, the sun is shining, and it's a beautiful day. Praise God this morning. Let him know what you are thankful for. Pour out your heart to him. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you do for us. The big and small ways that you pour out your love on us. Thank you for Jesus, his death and his resurrection. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you gave us to lead us and guide us. Thank you that we can gather here this morning and praise your name. Speak to our hearts and souls this morning. Reveal more of who you are and who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. I invite you to join in and as we praise this morning. It's going to be a little different. I'm going to do a little more of a bluegrass style. It might be a few songs that are maybe not familiar to all of you, but please sing as you're able to.
Sinner, now my soul.
up on this next song. We'll take this morning's offering, which is going for the various youth ministries here at the church. And children may also come forward with their coins for My Coins Count. So when I say God is good,
all the time.
Right, and all the time,
God is good.
Very good, yeah.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good.
God, You are good all the time. And just like the beautiful day today that You've given us reminds us that even though we go through days and seasons of storm and clouds and gloom, You didn't promise us that everything would be perfect and wonderful in our lives, but You did promise that You would be good and wonderful all the time. And You get us through those because of Your love for us. And because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You and praise You that we can come together to praise You, to worship You, to glorify You, and give us that encouragement to do so every single day of our lives, to touch other people all around us. Father, we thank You for what You've given us. We give back a portion to You to be used to help the church as well as the ministry, the youth ministries here. And Father, as they are making some decisions about things that they are planning to do this year, please guide and direct. And we thank you for all of your blessings as we continue to honor, serve, and worship you today. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
And I invite you to stand if you're able as we continue singing.
To our home on God's mercy.
Spiritual warfare. And so I just wanted to do a couple songs here as we close out the time of worship, just that maybe kind of acknowledge this power that Satan does have, but that God is more powerful.
There's a long black train coming down the line, beating off the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black chain. Look to the heavens, you can look to the skies. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. Burning your ticket for that long black train, 'cause there's victory in the Lord, I say, victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name, and don't go riding on that long black train. So good, but I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. Its only destination is the middle of nowhere. 'Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name.
Satan's jewel crown. I've worn it so long, but God for my soul has reached out. His love set me free, and he made me his own, and help me cast off Satan's jewel crown. If I could be
shed blood. And we just proclaim that this morning. God, we just pray your touch on Tony as he brings your word to us this morning. Just fill him with what you would have us to hear this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. We'll be on this side this morning. Here, let me move my coffee cup out of the way. Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
Did you have exciting plans for this afternoon? Maybe you're going to take a nap or, like, just relax and not do anything? No, you're going to have fun and do all kinds of crazy stuff? What?
My neighbors are going to come over and see our bunny rabbits. We got four little ones, which are my bunny rabbits.
You got four bunny rabbits, and your neighbors are going to come over and see your bunny rabbits.
Wait, we also have a fifth one that's big.
A fifth one that's big. Oh, that's awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun.
And we got a new stove.
You got a new stove. Well, that can be awesome. Well, today we're going to talk about counterfeit. Does anybody know what counterfeit means?
No.
Fake? Yes.
Fake.
But there's more to than just being fake. It looks so real, looks like the real thing, but it's not. It's fake. So why would you make something that's counterfeit?
Maybe you wanted to trick somebody.
Yes, you wanted to trick somebody. You wanted to fool them. You wanted to maybe give them fake money, and then they would give you real stuff, but you would have given them fake money. See, this one's fake and this one's real, but I don't know that I can tell the difference between those two. This one's the fake one and that's the real one. You can see the color is a little bit different here, but man, to the untrained eye, over one of those special little markers, how are you going to know that it's counterfeit? See, when you make something counterfeit, you try to deceive someone. You try to trick them, right? What do we call that? Being dishonest or stealing, right?
Or stealing your money.
Yeah, stealing your money. Because if I give you some money and I need change back and you give me counterfeit money, well, then I lost money. So Genesis 3, 1 to 6. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said you must not eat it or touch it or you will die." "No, you won't die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. See, the devil, he deceived Adam and Eve, so they didn't really know what God was saying. He was counterfeit. And so the devil likes to use God's words and twist them. So it's hard to know what is real. But see, when you want to fight against counterfeit money, they put a bunch of security stuff in. You see that? That's called a watermark. When you hold the bill up to the light, the president's face will appear, or whoever is in the middle, his face will appear. And the ink on the sides, it'll change color when you look at it from different directions. And there's a whole bunch of other things that they put in there, like this ridge right there, you can actually feel it. And there's some really super teeny tiny writing on the collar of his shirt, and there's actually some classified stuff that they don't tell you that they've actually put in the money so that they know what is real and what is fake. And it can be really hard to tell what is counterfeit and what is not. The only way you can do that is by studying the real thing over and over and over again. You have to know what the real thing looks like before you can pick out what is fake. And what did God do for us? He gave us the Bible. And if we know what it says in there, and we know what God's words say, we shouldn't be fooled by what the devil says, the counterfeit things that he teaches. So we need to know what the Bible says. We need to know what is real and what is fake. So you guys have been good listeners this morning. I'm going to pray for you guys, then you can have a snack and head back to your seats, okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for these children. I just pray that you'll pour out a blessing upon them and just help them to have a good day. Help them to know what is real and what is fake. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may have a snack and head back to your seats. Good morning again, and again, welcome in the powerful name of Jesus. The phone tree message has gone around about Luke Ringler, and he's requesting prayer, so I'd like to take a moment and just spend some time before God in prayer for Luke. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the love and grace that you show us. We lift up Luke to your throne of mercy. He is fighting a battle with cancer. Just give him and his family a peace that passes all understanding. I pray that you take away fear and worry. I pray that you bring healing to his heart, his mind, and his body, Lord. I just pray that you will remove the cancer from him and draw him closer to you. Carry Luke and his family in this difficult time. Just be with him. Give him peace and your reassurance. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd encourage you to continue to hold Luke and his family in your prayers. Teresa and I would like to thank you for your prayers and concern that you have shown us. My back is doing really good. I'm still going to physical therapy. And for those who don't know, a few weeks ago, my back hurt and I couldn't straighten up and I walked like that guy. I was like, oh, it was bad. I went to the chiropractor, I went to the orthopedic doctor, and they started me on some meds and physical therapy. But the most important thing that I did was I asked for prayer and I was anointed. When I was anointed, I asked for healing. I didn't receive it right then. I am healing. It's just taking longer than I wanted it to. And no, it's not due to a lack of faith. I received something better. God spoke to my heart and my soul that he was going to carry me through this when I was anointed. I didn't want to feel the pain that I had, but yet I had this peace that God was right there carrying me through the tough days that I faced. And this happened several different times. God gave me this reassurance that he was there with me. So why am I sharing this? To thank you for your prayers, because they do work. I appreciate every one of you who prayed for me. But the most important thing is to give God the glory for his faithfulness and his love and his mercy. And as we're starting a sermon series on spiritual warfare, see, I don't know if my physical pain I felt was the result of a spiritual attack, but it was definitely a place where the enemy was fighting against me. See, I had all these things swirling around in my head. Did I mess up another disc in my back? Am I going to need surgery? The last time I had a disc messed up, it took forever and there was a lot of pain until it finally had gotten better. See, I didn't know if I could deal with that again. It was kind of overwhelming. How many days am I going to miss from work till I'm able to get back and do what I'm supposed to do? There was a heaviness in my soul because all these things were whirling around in my head. And I believe that was the enemy attacking me. See, God, He used your prayers to encourage and to comfort me. Crying out to God to fight our battles for us needs to be the first thing that we do. We need to get others to pray for us, to fight those battles for us. I know it can be very uncomfortable to open yourself up in many sensitive circumstances, but trust me, having people praying for you is the best thing that you can do. These battles that we face, they come at us in our physical world that we live in, but they come from a spiritual realm. And as we go through this series, we will be using this book by Dean Sherman with Bill Payne. This is a guide for topics and direction. Scripture, God's word, is the foundation, and it's more important than anything that's said in that book. So what we say is going to be backed up by Scripture. And we will be combining some of the chapters in this book. We'll be skipping some of the chapters in this book. Spiritual warfare is going on all the time. And there's nothing more satisfying to the enemy, the devil, than to devour us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. He wants to destroy us." Why? Why does he want to destroy us? Because God loves us so much, and the devil hates God and wants to hurt him by hurting us. This is not to scare you so that you go around thinking that the enemy is around every corner. This is to get you to think and to pay attention about the things that are happening around you. That there could be spiritual warfare going on in the things you face physically, mentally, and spiritually. Spiritual warfare happens in large ways, like it did to Job, where he lost almost everything because the devil attacked him. And it happens in those small, little, subtle ways that we don't even think is spiritual warfare. So today we're going to start by looking at our identity in Christ. See, if we don't know who we are in Christ, how can we stand when the enemy attacks us? How can we know when the enemy is being a counterfeiter and twisting God's words, enticing us to take that bite of fruit that we're not supposed to, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden? So what is your identity? In the Bible, people give their name, and maybe what town they were born in, or they give their name and who their father was. It shows their lineage. Jesus of Nazareth, that's one example. There's many other examples of that. And we do this all the time. We call it the Mennonite game. We look for someone in your lineage to identify with. Oh, I know your great-grandfather. I knew who he was. He's related to me as well. We do that a lot. But we need to know who we are and where we belong. Genesis 1:27. "So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female." We are created in God's image. We're not random. God formed us in his image. Just think about that at a moment. We are formed in God's image. We go from infants to children to teens and then to adults. We are formed in God's image. Revelations 3, 20 to 21. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus is calling us to accept him as our Savior. And when we say yes to that call, he comes and communes with us. We then receive the right to be seated with him in heaven. By the grace of God, we are saved through faith in Jesus. A lot of times, we identify ourselves as sinners saved by grace. Although this is a true statement, that's not our identity. That's not who we are. Too many times, we focus on where we were and not who we have become. We were sinners saved by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we don't focus on who we are now. We look at the past. I was taking a class at Weaverland Church this winter. It was taught by Roberta Dymock. The class was on spiritual warfare. And she made this statement, and I had to write it down really quickly and think about it. I'm not even sure I wrote it exactly as she spoke it. But this statement, this is what she said. We are the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. That is our identity. Think about that. We are the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians 5:17, 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us. That's Jesus. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We accept Jesus as our Savior and we become a new creation. We are changed in our hearts and our minds and our souls. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, we become righteous. We become the righteousness of God. Sure, we still deal with sin, and we still have to go and ask for forgiveness for those sins. But our identity is changed. And we need to shift our mindset from focusing on we were sinners to what we are. We need to stop looking down at ourselves. I'm not good enough. I don't belong on this level with Jesus. I belong down here. God is holy and righteous. There is no evil or bad in him, and I am a sinner. I belong down here. Stop. That is not who you are. You are the righteousness of God through Jesus. Just keep remembering that. And thinking about that. See, years ago, I had a dream, and it was God speaking to me. It's not one of those dreams where you wake up and you forget. It's one of those dreams that's imprinted on your mind forever. It's clear today as it was then. See, I was standing in a prison cell, holding onto the bars, and the door was open, and Jesus was standing there. And he's telling me to come out and to be free. I don't deserve to come out, Jesus. I don't deserve to come out of this cell. And he said, come out and be free. See, I used to look at myself that way. I don't deserve to have what you have given me. Maybe some of you do the same thing. We see ourselves in a negative way, putting ourselves down because of what we were. And we do not look at what we have become. See, the enemy likes to get us to put ourselves down and make us feel shame and guilt over what we were. He likes to bring those things up every time he attacks us. Oh, remember what you did? Remember what you did years ago? The enemy loves to attack us that way. You're not good enough. You're full of sin. Oh, you can't come near God. Sin can't be around God. Oh, you're terrible. You're horrible. You did that. The enemy twists and distorts what God wants, what God has planned for us. At least we think that way. The enemy can't change God's plans. We are the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. We are free from sin, made morally right before God because of what Jesus did for us, dying on the cross and rising again. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't make bad choices and still sin. But when we ask for forgiveness, we are free from our sin. Ephesians 4, 20 to 24. But that is not how you came to know Christ. Assuming you heard about him, you were taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. To take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, is righteousness and purity of the truth. We put off their old self and we put on a new self. The way we used to live is removed, and we live lives that pure and true. We are constantly seeking after Christ to be more like him every day. But the only thing that we did to receive this righteousness was to accept Jesus into our heart as our Savior. So how do you see yourself? Where do you put yourself? What is your identity? This next passage is a little bit longer, so I encourage you to turn to it. It's Galatians 3, 26, into chapter 4 to verse 7. For through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew, Greek, slave, or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs, according to the promise. Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. We are adopted into God's family through Christ. We are sons. We receive the full rights as an heir. an heir of God. We get to spend eternity with God the Father, and we will receive a reward from God. We will receive all this because we were made right before God by accepting Jesus into our hearts as our Savior. And there's many, many verses to look up, and you can look at the cover of our bulletin. All these words go in and are part of our identity. There's a lot of scripture, and I invite you to dig into this farther in the coming week to learn more of what your identity is. The world is screaming at us all the time. It is trying to change us into what the world says we should be. See, the enemy can sneak one thing in after another into our thinking so that we become desensitized to what is true and what is counterfeit. The world is saying we need to conform and accept anything as right. Satan will come and twist our thinking and our actions, trying to get us to fail, just like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. If we know who we are and who we belong to and where our power comes from to stand, we won't be fooled by the enemy. If we know and stand on God's promises that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us, when the enemy presses in and is attacking us and is accusing us and making us feel overwhelmed and full of shame and guilt and telling us that we're nothing, fighting us at every turn, we know where we can turn for safety and shelter. The storms of life, they can rage all around us, yet we can have a peace. We know where our help is coming from, who is carrying us through the battles, because we know who we belong to. We belong to Christ. When we have him in our heart, we are his, and no one can take us. Our identity is in Christ. We know what God says, and we can know when and how we can fight a spiritual battle. God gives us armor, and he lists his armor in here. And he gives us sight to see the enemy's attacks. We can realize this is a spiritual attack. You know how many times Teresa and I have faced spiritual battles right before I come up here and preach a message? Like every time. It happens all the time, and we know it, and we can see it, because God showed us that. Do you know who you are? What is your identity? Are you hidden in Christ? Or do you belong to the world? In conclusion, we will face spiritual battles because the enemy wants us to fail. We need to know who we are. And we might need to go through this every day, proclaiming who we are. We are the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. And when the enemy is attacking you, and he will, remember God's promises. Remember your identity. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm and fight. So what is your identity? If you don't know, search and find out what your identity is. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you are the one who made us in your image. You made us righteous. And there's nothing that we can do apart from you. Help us to remember your promises. Carry us through the battles that we face. Reassure us. Reassure us in our daily activities. Reassure us when the battle is raging. And reveal yourself more to us each day In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward for a closing song.
Praise God, we can stand firm in that even though we are a flower quickly fading and we're vapor in the wind, it's not because of what I've done, but only because of what He's done. The things that we do here on earth may be remembered by the next generation or possibly even the next, and maybe the next, but probably not much after that. But it still doesn't mean that we're not to do anything and not to participate in the body of Christ. He wants that. He wants us to be active. And I'm here, I think the Webbers are away for the weekend, but Julie Weber has served as our nursery coordinator since 2013. It had an open-ended term. She came to me in January and asked, she said, I think I need a replacement. She's willing to serve until we find a replacement. Well, Stacy Martin has agreed to serve as the nursery coordinator. And so I encourage you, if you've noticed that in our bulletins, there's times when our nursery is not staffed. And that's because people aren't willing. It doesn't take a lot to do that. You don't have to get down on the floor with the kids. If you want to, try to fit down the sliding board that's back there, go for it. I'm not. If you can remember what it was like to have little kids in church, nursery is for up to 4 years old. I think those are the ages. Hopefully I'm not getting in trouble here. But I think it's up to 4 years old. And sometimes the matchboxes and the tricky dogs that I used to have as a kid, thanks for bringing them, Mom, didn't always satisfy me, and I'm sure I was a handful, and like most kids can be. So I encourage you, if Stacy asks you, to say yes. Or if God is speaking to you now, go up to her and say, hey, put me on for a Sunday. I'd like to help. So, yeah. And that's with anything. You would not believe what it means to somebody who is asking for help when somebody says yes. How encouraging that can be. It is amazing how it lifts your spirits when somebody says yes when you ask. It's amazing. So God bless you, Tony.
I want to make an announcement this morning of something I think is incredibly important. We're going to meet here May 15th. It's the third Sunday in May. I've been working on this for a little bit. I'm trying to bring the congregations of the four main churches right here in Bowmanville, that is Pine Grove, St. Paul's, and Calvary, with us together to have a time of prayer. I'm trying to make this into a once-a-month thing. I haven't talked to Pine Grove yet. I'm planning on going there next Sunday. This goes up right along with what we were talking about this morning with spiritual warfare. If we can bring the four congregations in Bowmansville together and actually spend time praying together, put our differences aside, they can worship their way, do the things they do, whatever it is, but we can come together and pray. There is things we could do for this town that we can't even imagine. Just through that prayer, God would bless us, this town. Amazing things could happen. So May 15th, again, that's the third Sunday. We're going to meet right here at 7 o'clock. It's just going to be for an hour from 7 to 8. If you know anybody that goes to any of the churches in town, bring it up to them, too. I don't know who's talking about this and who's not. So I'm hoping this will be in the bulletin soon, and I want to put a couple papers out. If you have any questions, please come and talk to me. And as spiritual warfare goes, please keep me in your prayers, too, because when you start doing this kind of stuff, as Tony just mentioned, somebody don't like it too much, so I could definitely use some backup, too. So thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne and Brian. I have a reminder that we have a meeting on Tuesday night here at 7 at our church. And we as a leadership team would encourage each and every one of you to be there. It's very important. We changed the date of this meeting so that those people who were traveling to Florida and such would be here, because it is important. We want your input. We want to hear what you have to say. So I encourage you to come out on Tuesday night. So will you stand for the parting blessing? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.